with a video that we're going to play. So let's go ahead and roll that video. Okay, well, we'll skip the video. It's okay. Don't start it. We'll just skip it. So we are in a series called Rediscover Christmas. And the title of today's message is Finding Peace in Our Struggles. Finding Peace in Our Struggles. This is part two of this series. In Finland, Christmas is a big deal. It is a really big deal. It's a big deal everywhere, but it's a really big deal, especially in one town in Finland. They have a tradition. Now, this tradition started in the 1300s, so it's over 700 years old. And they have done the same thing every Christmas Eve for over 700 years, except for three. They didn't do it 2 years during World War II because of German occupation, and they did do it 1 year during the Napoleon Wars because of occupation. But other than 3 years, for over 700 years, they have done this same tradition. And it's called the Declaration of Christmas Peace. And so, again, they do that. And it serves as a reminder and an encouragement to spend the holidays in harmony. It threatens offenders and with harsh punishment. And it wishes everybody a Merry Christmas. Now, the proclamation in the town, there's an old city square. It's called the Old Great Square, and there's a mansion that's been there for millennia. It's a castle, really, and so they stand on the balcony. So imagine a tradition. They do it in the same place. You know, America's 200 something years old, right? So we don't have any structures that are 1,000 years old. So they go to this structure, same place they went to 700 years ago, and they give the exact same proclamation. And this has been going out every year, and it's usually done by city officials. Now, imagine if a city official, just the first sentence in here, imagine if a city official did this today. Oh, my goodness, lawsuits everywhere. But let's go ahead and get started. We're going to put that on the screen. You can follow along with me. And here's how it reads. It says, tomorrow, God willing, is the grateful celebration of the birth of our Lord and Savior. And thus is declared a peaceful Christmas time to all. By advising devotion and to behave otherwise quietly and peacefully. Because he who breaks this peace and violates the peace of Christmas by any illegal or improper behavior shall under aggravating circumstances, obviously I don't read the way they wrote back then, aggravating circumstances, be guilty and punished according to what the law and the statutes prescribe for each and every offense separately. Finally, a joyous Christmas feast is wished to all the inhabitants of the city. Now, for over 700 years, they've been doing that same proclamation. It's on radio. It's on TV. Now it's streamed online. And it has been going on for a long time. So you better not mess with the Finns' Christmas peace, because they do deal harshly with it. But it's a great way, I believe, to usher in Christmas and a reminder of Christ's coming and the peace that he brings to the world. So if you've been journeying with us these past 2 weeks, toward Christmas, you know we're celebrating, as I said, Advent. And the candles, they just represent the Sundays before Christmas. The three purple ones will be each Sunday, and then the white one will light on Christmas Sunday, and we'll have them all lit, just as a reminder. And so Advent, the meaning is coming or arrival, and it's a season marked by expectation, waiting, anticipation, and longing. It's not an extension of Christmas. It's a season that links the past, present, and future. Advent offers us the opportunity to share in the ancient longing for the coming of the Messiah, to celebrate his birth, and to be alert of his second coming. Advent looks back in celebration at the hope fulfilled in Jesus' coming, while at the same time looking forward in hopeful and eager anticipation for Christ's second coming and for the return for his people. Now, during Advent, we wait for both of those things. It's an active, aggressive, and hopeful waiting. So each week we're focusing on a different attribute of God represented in the coming of Jesus: hope, peace, joy, and love. Now, each of these traits lead us into the rediscovery of Christmas. And we are glad you are here today, whether here or joining us online, to rediscover peace. So as we move through the Christmas story, anybody remember who we talked about last week?
Simeon and Anna.
And how when Jesus' parents took him to the temple to be dedicated, and what happened on that day. Now today we're gonna go to a very familiar story. We're gonna go to the shepherds. And they were really the most unlikely recipients of God's message of peace. Now I want to read it out of the book of Luke. It's a very poetic kind of passage. And maybe it seems that way because there's many of us in here that are old enough that we grew up watching Linus recite this to Charlie Brown in A Charlie Brown Christmas. And if you read your book this week, you know the story behind that and how that almost didn't get aired even in the 60s. And so if you kept up with the reading, you know all that whole story. But it was just a moment in history. It's 2 minutes long. Let's just show that clip.
Isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about?
True, Charlie Brown. I can tell you what Christmas is all about. Lights, please. And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God, and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown. Shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you.
Linus is right. I won't let all this commercialism ruin my Christmas.
And with that, history was made on television. And and you ought to go back and find that page and read the story about it, because it was very interesting. And that was a beautiful moment in television history. But long before television was invented, Luke wrote about this in Luke 2, 8 through 20. Now, we read this story so much that I wanted to read it out of a different translation so that you can stay with me and not just know the story. So we're going to read out of the Passion. It says, That night in a field near Bethlehem, there were shepherds watching over their flocks. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared in radiant splendor before them, lighting up the field with a blazing glory of God, and the shepherds were terrified. I guess so. I added that part. But the angel reassured them, saying, Don't be afraid, for I have come to bring you good news, the most joyous news the world has ever heard, and it is for everyone everywhere. For today in Bethlehem, a rescuer was born for you. A what?
Rescuer.
Was born for who? He is the Lord, Yahweh, the Messiah. You will recognize him by this miracle sign. You will find a baby wrapped in strips of clothes and laying in a feeding trough. And then all at once, a vast number of glorious angels appeared, the very armies of heaven. And they all praised God, singing, "Glory to God in the highest realms of heavens." Now, I'm not going to teach, I need to go back and teach on that someday, because you need to know this, that there are actually realms, levels of heaven, if you will. There are different realms of heaven, and we need to cover that at some point. But that's accurate in here. So verse 14, "Glory to God in the highest realms of heaven, for there is peace and a good hope given to the sons of men." When the choir of angels disappeared back to the heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go. Let's hurry and find this word." I like the way they translated that. This word, capital W, word, that is born in Bethlehem, and see for ourselves what the Lord has revealed to us. So they ran into the village, and they found their way to Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in a feeding trough. Upon seeing this miraculous sign, the shepherds recounted what had just happened. Everyone who heard the shepherd's story was astonished by what they were told. But Mary treasured all these things in her heart and often pondered what they must have meant. The shepherds returned to their flock, ecstatic over what had happened. They praised God and glorified him for all they had heard and seen for themselves, just like the angels had said. Now, there's a whole lot in those couple of paragraphs. I'm going to pick up page one, number one on your insert now. But to begin this, it's like God's birth announcement to the world. And what a way to announce the long-awaited event that happened in such an unexpected way. Suddenly, in the middle of a dark and ordinary night, in the Bethlehem countryside, an angel appears in the sky, and then he's joined by a full sky of angels. But not just any angels. It, according to verse 13, it says that it was the very armies of heaven. And it's hard to imagine how magnificent and bright and terrifying and glorious a sight this must have been. And then there's the sound. You know, altogether, these incredible angels are praising God, probably singing and declaring glory to God in heaven and peace on earth to man. What language were they singing? What language were they speaking? What kind of melody and harmony? How loud must it have been? Or could anybody else hear it but the shepherds? You know, they couldn't have been that far out of town for the shepherds to be able to run into town. And you think if the whole armies of heaven appeared and was singing, that everybody in town would have heard that. So it may have just been the shepherds in the vision that they're the only ones that saw it. I don't know. Of course, the audience for this grand announcement and this amazing angelic show, it had to be the most important VIPs, the rich, the famous, the powerful, the kings, the queens, the movers, the shakers, and the biggest names in the world at that time, right? No. You know the story? It was shepherds. Those completely ordinary, average night shift working animal tenders who are the unlikely, unexpected recipients of this message of peace, wholeness, and God's favor. It is yet another scene in how God is perfectly flipping the script on what people would expect or plan to do if it was up to them to save the world. But the whole experience certainly leaves us asking, why shepherds? Why these completely unexpecting and unassuming guys? And maybe it's because shepherds were they're the main thread through the whole Bible, if you look at it. You know, the first shepherds, they remind us of the patriarchs of Israel. They were shepherds. They were nomadic animal tenders. You could think of it this way, they were the roaming ranchers of the ancient world. Abraham was the original recipient of God's covenant that he would bless all the nations of the world, and that promise was carried on through Abraham's ancestors, Isaac, Jacob, and beyond. David, who was Israel's most, you know, greatest king, was a shepherd as well at first. But the shepherds were just everyday men. They were nothing special. They had no entitlement, no pride, no arrogance, no religious no place. They fit right into the process of introducing God's Messiah via a humble carpenter named Joseph and a very common girl named Mary as the parents of God's son. Number two in your insert. With his birth being in a stable surrounded by animals, rough and rugged shepherds and out in the fields on the edge of a more refined civilization, these were the have-nots, examples of God raising and using the humble and turning the world as we know it on its head. Those considered by society to be the most holy weren't even given a place in the stable to kneel on holy ground and witness the arrival of the Messiah. Now, I want to stop right there. You know, as I've been looking at that, I y'all know me as me. Y'all don't know me as who I was. You don't know how insecure I was in high school. You don't know how many, after over a decade of people calling you slow and stupid, you don't know what that'll do to you emotionally and as far as what you think you'll become. You know, if God takes people that the world really won't pay attention to, and he does things through them. You know, don't ever feel like you are too good for God, and don't ever feel like you are too bad for God. And then guilt. Anybody ever sinned? And anybody sinned in the last year? I was going to say yesterday, but I'll broaden it a little bit. Okay. So when you sin, don't you have the opportunity just to feel that condemnation that you're really unworthy? And the truth, God bless you. And the truth of that is we are unworthy except for the fact that he made us worthy. Amen. And so that's why it says, the Bible says, there's therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk according to the Spirit and not according to the flesh. And you say, but it's my flesh that sinned. Yes, it is the flesh that sinned, but to walk according to the Spirit means that I understand that what happens spiritually dominates what I do in my flesh, and therefore I become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So therefore, I'm still right with God, even though I sinned, and that condemnation has no power over me, because if I allow it to have power over me, I will allow it to pull me down. And if it pulls me down, what's one of the first things to go? Confidence. Peace. What's one of the first things to go? Peace. Because if Satan can get rid of... Well, we know, we'll talk about joy next week, but we know that if you don't have peace, how many of you, after you sin, that guilt feeling comes, how peaceful does that feel? It doesn't feel peaceful at all. There's therefore now no condemnation of those who are in Christ Jesus who walk according to the Spirit and not according to the flesh. That's why we walk according to the Spirit that says, man, my flesh just messed up. God, forgive me. I'm walking according to the Spirit, so therefore I know there's no condemnation. And therefore I can maintain my peace and my joy. Does that make sense? So we have to hold on to this peace, because if we lose our peace, there can be no joy. And so, you know, these shepherds, that they signify really Jesus's ministry and teaching. And sheep might be, you know, lowly little creatures, but sheep were special in the Jewish culture. The Passover lamb was the animal they used for the sacrifice every year. In their most important holidays, to cover their sins so they could be restored to God. And each time it was done, this sacrifice was a reminder of the original Passover when God created the Exodus for Egypt, for Israel out of Egypt. And you and I know that Jesus was entering our world to fulfill his identity as what? The Lamb of God who came to take away what? The sins of the world, right? So he was the ultimate sacrifice. He was the ultimate payment for sin. His death did away with the need for all of those sacrificial lambs. His resurrection made it possible for us to be fully restored in our relationship with God. His life made it possible to experience true peace. You know, when Jewish people approach each other, they leave each other, they say the same word. What is it? Shalom, right? And it's a in the Hebrew, it's a cultural thing. And the word and concept, it encapsulates the completeness, the wholeness of God's original creation. I'll define it in a minute. Number three in your insert. It's probably for all of these reasons and more that God sent his angelic messenger to announce the birth of his son to shepherds. It certainly reminds us. Now listen to this sentence. It's, you ought to underline it in your note page. It reminds us that God's favor is not based on human standards. His favor is on all those who acknowledge their need for a Savior and accept the gift of hope, peace, joy, and love that Jesus brings. It's not based on me. Socially, who I am. Economically, who I am. Spiritually, who I am. It's not based on any of those things. It is based on Jesus. Peace is not based on class. It's not based on position. It's not based on occupation, but on God's purpose and God's design to bring good news that will cause great joy for all people. Now, the top of page two. And so I think the shepherds also lead us into several insights about our own interaction with God's peace. And I'm going to give you three examples of what I'm talking about. The first one is, it's on page two, is peace comes in the midst of our storms. We all know what a hurricane is. We live in Texas. We get hurricanes. Probably none of us have ever actually been through the eye of a hurricane, but we've seen the weather reports, the satellite pictures of a hurricane. What's in the middle of a hurricane? The eye of the storm, right? But we understand because, you know, you have this circling storm, and in the middle of it, there is this eye. And there, the winds are calm. The rain ceases. It's a pause in the violence of the storm. It's temporary. It doesn't last. And then those winds start howling, this time, though, in the opposite direction. So let me ask you a question. Because this has been a year of storms. How's your Christmas season going? How does Christmas season for you typically go? And, you know, if we're honest, we might choose words busy, hectic, frantic to describe our lives this time of year and maybe all year long. But I have made a decision this year. I'm not going to get into that rut. You know, I am busy, but that's just my life. But I'm not going to allow all of the junk going on. See, I'll tell you how Satan tries to distract us. Thursday night, a constable comes to my house. I'm not quite home yet. The girls answer the door. There's a constable there with a lawsuit. And so I get home and I look at this, and I think the lawyer has just lost his mind. Because it's a customer of mine in my business who had an accident, which I didn't even know about because they called claims directly and I didn't even know about it. But yet, somehow the attorney thinks I was there for the accident. And so now I have to deal with this because anybody can sue you for anything. And if I wasn't a nice guy, I'd turn around and sue that attorney for false, not doing his job, you know, for dumbness or something. But you know, so I got to deal with this. So I'm dealing on the phone Friday, dealing with, you know, all kinds of internal people and stuff about, you know, what do we do about this thing? Because you got to respond to it. You can't ignore it, right? But see, it's just Satan wanting to pick and distract. But I have made a decision this year. I'm celebrating Christmas. This has been just a year. And I'm going to take time and I'm going to celebrate Christmas. And so I'm not going to get so distracted that I cannot enjoy the season. And I hope you do too. I hope you take time. Look, we all deserve a break. This year, we deserve a break. We deserve to take some time and say, you know what? I have a God that loves me. It's not that bad. I'm breathing. My loved ones are safe. And I just need to be grateful. And, you know, I'm going to stay away from that overloaded schedule as much as I can. And for some of us, either in this room or watching, you know, maybe it's something more than that. Maybe it's a relational conflict. Maybe it's pressure at work. Maybe it's a lost job. My goodness, there's a lot of those. Maybe it's an illness. You name it. We got plenty of options to pick from if we want to be stressed out this year. So 1A on your insert. For many of us, peace sounds like something way off. A good idea, a nice thought for the holidays, something we long for. If this is where you find yourself today, that peace is just out there, but it's not yours, I want to encourage you by telling you that Jesus shows up when the storms of life threaten our peace and our hope and our joy. He is there with us when love seems lost and the way seems totally unclear. But this is where God appears. This is where the Christ child was born. This is where the angels show up. This is the middle of Israel's dark night under Roman oppression and centuries of suffering and wondering, where in the world is God? And in the middle of a world turned upside down for this young Jewish couple who have found themselves at the center of a truly cosmic event, while at the same time trying to navigate just the normal realities of paying their dues, traveling on foot across country to be counted in the government census, this young couple was to experience for the first time a childbirth away from home, no support, none of the women in the village, none of the midwives that would have been there to help Mary through Jesus' birth. They're alone, no help. And then being first-time parents, and not only with the joys and the wonders and the uncertainty and the responsibility of having their first son, oh, but by the way, it's God's son. You know, that might create a little stress. Remember last week when Simeon was prophesying or talking over Jesus? And it says that his parents were amazed by what was being said. Well, you'd think they had angels and stuff appear to them. You'd think they kind of know this was coming. But how ready can you be? And that's the way we are sometimes. You know, we pray, we get prayed up, we get insight from God, we get revelation. They had revelation that you're having God's son. But they're still amazed. And they're still astonished. And they're still trying to figure it all out. And in all these circumstances and in all these struggles, God shows up. And this is where God continues to show up for us. When we are in a situation where there is pain or fear or confusion, grief, loss, or uncertainty, God is there. Because we know, in Joshua 1:5, we know that God himself said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. 1B. And I don't know every hardship that maybe you're facing. Those of you watching, you know, I hear it. I hear it all week, every week. I talk to people and I hear these things. And I don't know the hardships you're facing today, the pain you're feeling. But I guarantee you one thing, God does know. And he is there and he brings peace to calm your heart and peace that defies your circumstances. Why? So that your faith can stay strong. Why do you have to keep your peace? So your faith can stay strong as healing and wholeness can flow through your situation in life. Isaiah 41:10 in the Message to me is just such an encouraging scripture when I'm at it. I've had all I can take. I'm done. Anybody ever been there? It's like, I'm done. Look at what this says. It's like God's talking just to me. Don't panic. I am with you. There is no need to fear, for I am your God. Amen. I'll give you strength. I'll help you. I'll hold you steady. Keep a firm grip on you. Man, I don't know if that gives you any hope, but man, that is encouraging. Let's all read that together. Just read it with me. Don't panic. I'm with you. There's no need to fear, for I am your God. I'll give you strength. I'll help you. I'll hold you steady, and I'll keep a firm grip on you. That's some good stuff right there. Number two, peace defies our circumstances. I said that a minute ago, but it's number two. So when I teach this way, or any pastor teaches this way, there's always people who say, oh, well, that sounds nice, Pastor, but you don't know my hurts. You don't know how much it hurts. You don't know how much this person hurt me, or that situation hurt me, or this illness set me back, or this job loss, what it did to me, or the lawyers that are coming, or the bill collectors that are calling, you just don't know the hurt. No, I don't. I can only imagine the pain that some people are feeling because I hear it on the phone all week, and I can only agree that in most cases it is unfair. But I want to encourage you that there is a peace that is deeper. There is a peace that defies your circumstances. And no, in the face of all of that you're feeling and all you've gone through, God's peace just does not make sense, but it is real. And it is healing. And it can guard your heart from continued wounds. It can protect your mind from the onslaught of anxiety. How many of you worry when you're at peace? How many of you are really anxious when you're at peace? That's what peace will do for you. The Apostle Paul describes the process of peace like this in Philippians 4, 4 through 7. Now, I'm going to read out of the New Living Translation. It says this, always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Now, the King James says it this way, the way most of us know it. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. Verse 5, let everyone see that you are considerate in all that you do. Remember, the Lord's coming soon. Now, this is a formula. This is a I love processes. What's a process? Somebody just yell out, what is a process at work?
Steps.
Workflow, that's a good one. I love processes. I like to know if I do did, this is my outcome. I just like to do that. And so I like process. This is a process. Verse 6. Let's go back to verse 5. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all that you do. Remember, the Lord's coming soon. Verse 6. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He's done. Then, say then. You will experience God's peace. When? Then. Then what? When you cut the worry out, when you pray about everything, you tell God what you need, and you thank Him for what He's done. Now, how many of us really tell God about everything? And it doesn't mean, you know, Lord, I just thought this, and I did. He knows all that. But one thing, I don't know who taught me to do this, but it's just a habit I got into. I talk to God all day. I'm sitting in my office at my chair doing my thing, and I'm talking to God about, God, I need this change. I don't like this, or I need to win. And just about every time before I pick up the phone, I say, thank you, Lord God, I have favor with this person. You know, I'm talking to Him all day long. I'm telling Him. It's like there's somebody sitting in my office and I'm having a conversation with them about what I'm doing all day. And I just, again, I don't know who taught me that, but I just got in that habit. And I can see a big difference in how it does, because then when that turns out okay, I'm thanking God. Okay, so let's read the formula again, the process. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. What is prayer?
Talking to God.
Okay. Tell God what you need. And then thank Him for all He's done. So if you'll set the worry aside, and instead of worrying, you'll use your time praying about everything, talking to God about everything, just talking to Him. You tell Him in that process of talking what you need, and you thank Him for everything He's done, then you will experience God's peace. Oh, and by the way, that peace exceeds anything you can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and your minds as you live in Christ Jesus. So let me encourage you today, no matter what you are facing, that this process begins with us turning to God, bringing our hurts and our questions and our doubts and our whys and our needs to Him. Because Paul said, pray about everything, tell God what you need, and thank Him for all He's done. Now, I'm going to be honest. I don't completely understand all this. But there is a power in prayer in talking to God and a transformation that grows from gratitude. Some of you haven't really truly thanked God in a long time for what you have, for how blessed we are. It's not the power of getting, you know, what you want or convincing God of your of the things that you, your way. It's much more than that. The power of prayer happens in the experience of peace as our perspective changes and finds an understanding that God is with us no matter what. Now, that is very important. Because a lot of times, it's not so much that God answers the prayer as He helps you change your perspective on the situation. Because most of the time, our problem is perspective. Attitude. It's these kinds of things. So as you pray and talk to God, He starts dropping wisdom and you, your perspective on the thing changes. Because once our perspective changes, then our speech is going to change. And once our speech changes, our world changes. And so God will help you that. He'll guide you and lead you. And if you'll let Him, your perspective will start changing. And an acknowledgement and acceptance that He's got this, that He can be trusted and that He's enough. Now, we just read Philippians 4, 4 through 7 in the New Living. Now, I want to read it again, Philippians 4, same passage again, but this time I want to read it out of the Passion. Let's go through it one more time because it's an important passage. Again, it's a process that Paul gave us. So let's look at it from a different perspective because we just talked about perspective. Let's see it from a different perspective. Be cheerful with joyous celebration in every season of life. That's tough, because some seasons of life aren't so fun. But what's another word for being cheerful? They use it with joyous celebration, keeping your joy. Let joy overflow, for you are united with the anointed one, which is Jesus. Verse 5, let gentleness be seen in every relationship, for our Lord is ever near. Now, let's go back to verse 6, because that was kind of our tail verse last time. Don't be pulled in different directions or worried about a thing. Because what does Satan want to do? You know, right now in my business, you know, I mean, it's the end of the year. People are changing out cars. So there's a lot of activity, just not so much selling stuff as people doing stuff. But it's also health insurance season. Because if you have Medicare, you've only got to December 5th. If you want insurance, you've only got till December 15th to buy it. So it's a very finite length of time you can make these changes. So it's a very, very busy time for me. And I have to stay focused. And I can't allow myself to be pulled like with that silly lawsuit. You know, it's like, you know, it's a mistake. It'll get fixed. But the point is, he says, don't be pulled in different directions or worried about a thing. Stay focused. Be saturated in prayer throughout each day. Now, somebody tell me what that saturated with prayer. Tell me what that means. Filled. Yeah, filled. But again, what is prayer? What is prayer? So if you're saturated with talking to God, what are you doing? You're just talking to Him all the time. Be saturated in prayer through each day. Offering your faith-filled... See, they added this, and I like that. Because you have to be your faith-filled request before God with overflowing gratitude. And you know one thing I find? If you'll start practicing this, here's something that I have noticed personally. If something comes up and you need something, you have to turn your prayer guns on it and use your faith, right? And we do that. We all do that. But if you are just saturating yourself in prayer, and that doesn't mean praying, you know, eyes closed, you know, hands, you know, not saturated in prayer, saturated in just talking to God all day long, what you find is, since you're just flowing out of your heart what it is you want. Remember back to our series that we were just in the middle of before we went to Christmas, and Believer's Authority, remember that? And one of the things we learned in there, where Jesus is talking to his disciples, and then he goes down and he starts talking about faith being a servant. So if you'll start practicing this, if we are saturating our day in just talking to God, the things you talk to him about, because you're not in anxiety, unless it is, but I mean, generally the things you're talking to him about, you're just talking about your day, they're filled with faith, and it moves so fast. Compared to, I got this issue, and I got to go hit it with prayer. So what I'm trying to say is let's read this again, because I want you to get this, and I'm trying to say it right, but be saturated in prayer. Be saturated in talking to God throughout each day, offering your faith-filled requests before God. See, if I'm just talking to him all day, the faith is already there because I'm not in anxiety over anything. I'm just letting it flow. And so I've saturated my day just talking to God. The conversation is just moving. There's faith in it because I'm not so focused on it that I'm trying to get faith. It's just because I'm just talking. It's flowing. And because faith is a servant, it is moving out. And so be saturated in prayer. Be saturated in talking to God throughout each day, offering your faith-filled requests or just your conversation before God with overflowing gratitude. Tell him every detail of your life. Then, God's wonderful peace that transcends human understanding will make the answer known to you through Jesus Christ. This is life. And if you'll practice this kind of lifestyle, life will become much simpler and much less painful. And number three, the third thing is, peace is a person. 3A on your insert. It all comes down to a person. Peace is a person, and that person's name is Jesus. Paul tells us in Ephesians 2:14, "For he himself is our peace." And long before his arrival on earth, the prophet Isaiah called Jesus the Prince of Peace. Isaiah 9:6-7. "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever." Now, there is a whole lot of political undertones in this message. And so you can see why the Jews, who wanted their political freedom from and their independence from Roman oppression, were believing or hoping that they would see a political Messiah, a warrior. And more importantly, there are tones in here of completion of Christ's work and his eventual establishment of God's kingdom. But most of all, this child that is born, the son that is given to us, brings the power and rule of his peace into our personal lives. He is the one that brings peace between us and God. And he is the sacrificial lamb. He is the giver of life. He is the embodiment of shalom. Now, shalom means peace, harmony, wholeness, completeness, prosperity, welfare, and tranquility. So if we leave here today, and I walk up to Richard and I say, "Richard, shalom." What I'm saying to Richard is, "Richard, I speak peace, harmony, wholeness, completeness, prosperity, welfare, and tranquility over you." Well, that's a good thing to say over somebody every day, right? And this is what we find in our relationship with him. Jesus is the God who has come to be with us. And he offers us this invitation. And that's what it is. He offers it. It's in Matthew 11, 28 through 30. I'm going to read out the message. He offers it this Advent season, but he offers it all the time. So again, I think this so works for this particular year. And, you know, any time and every year, but this year's just, you know, it's different. So let's go ahead and start on this. What's the first thing God asks you? Are you tired? Well, can anybody say? Don't say amen. But yes, are you tired? Worn out? Oh, and I love this next word. Burned out on religion. Well, I've been burned out on religion for a long time. Jesus says, come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Amen? I'll show you how to take a real rest. Let's go into verse 29. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I love that. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Well, I don't know about you, but I would like to live freely and lightly. That is an offer of peace. And so over this week, you know, I would ask you, look this passage up, a couple of these passages. We've gone through the message and whatever, and like this one or the one before it. Just and read these and meditate on these. And let them just wash over your spirit this week. And so in the second week of Advent, let me encourage you to look for the Prince of Peace. Even when, you know, winds blow, the storms of life are pushing on you, let me remind you to come to him. Because he is here. And the Prince of Peace is with us. I've got a video. I show it most Christmas seasons. You know, I usually like to end the service on a funny video, and we will the next 2 weeks. More of a light tone. But I'm not going to do that today. And I don't know if this will apply to people, and here are people watching. But peace right now is a real problem. What do you think the riots in the street, you think those people have peace?
No. No way.
You think Washington is at peace? Peace is just so absent today. But the lack of peace is bondage. And I don't want anyone in here in bondage. Now, you could say, no, Rocky, I do. I live in peace. Well, maybe except for this little area here. And I know, the Lord just showed me something. There's some lady watching, and really what I'm doing right now is just you're not here, but I'm, and this is for you. Peace will do nothing. And the thing is, we get all wrapped up in this thing of no peace, and we think that the hostility, the pushing, the negative, we think that's success. Chasing. Have you ever met anybody that just chases money? Chases success? Do they have any peace in their life? No. But do they think, here's the thing. They get so focused on this and that they're miserable, that they're chained. They are in chains. But they're so focused on this that just a little more, just a little more. And there's no peace in it. But they don't want to leave it. I'm so close. Well, you're always just going to be so close. Because you're never going to be in the joy of the Lord and just walk into it. And so I'm going to show this video, and it's about that situation. And how we end up in chains. Now, in some people's lives, like in this video, the chains are more for their whole life. And those people are more obvious to see. But here's the thing that happens, I think, to a lot of people. Is they love God. They love the things of God. They love all this. But there is this, whether it's just this drive on something. It could be pornography. It could be drugs. It could be worry. It could be lust. It could be anxiety. It could be gossiper. You know, you just have this channel and you can't stop it. You just can't quit. And that little piece of bondage is just holding you in a place. And it just ought not be this way. We ought to walk in the peace of God and we ought to be free. Let's roll that video. I guess we're going to be a little video challenge today, so that's okay. Because then you said what I needed to say. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Is there anyone in here that you would say, Pastor, or watching me? Of course, I can't see your hands. But you're watching me, you've been listening to me, and you say, I want this peace. I want it not just in this part of my life, but I want it in my whole life. Well, obviously, the first step towards that is you have to make Jesus Lord. That's the first step of achieving this peace. The second part of it is we have to be born again. We have to make Jesus Lord. And you can say, well, I've done that. He is Lord. But I don't, you know, we're in Christmas and I know I'm not right with him. I know I'm just ignoring. I know I'm not talking to him. I'm not doing any of these things you talked about. I just know him and I know that I guess I'm saved, but I don't have a relationship with him. So if you would like to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, or if you would like to just rededicate your life to him, if you're in this room, just lift a hand and let us see it. If you're watching or just listening to us, just acknowledge it before God. Because we're going to say a simple prayer. We're going to say a simple prayer that will just put you in a place where we know we're right from God before we move on. So let's all say this prayer together. Father, in Jesus' name, I receive the gift. The best gift that was given to men on what we call Christmas Day, the birth of your Son. And Jesus, I accept you as my Lord, my Savior, and I declare that you are the Savior of my life, and I will serve you, I will worship you, I will have a relationship with you all the days of my life. And it's in your name I pray. Amen. Now, still every head bowed and every eye closed. If you are here this morning and you'd say, Pastor, I just want you to speak a word over me because I've got a whole lot in my life that I'm just locked in those cuffs you were talking about. I just, there's a whole lot there. Or maybe there's just something little that I just need to get rid of. But if there's something you need that chain broken over, I'm just going to speak a word over that. So if that's you and you'd say, Pastor, just pray for me that those chains would be broken, that I would walk out that door and receive it, receive complete peace. Just lift a hand. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And those of you watching, of course, thank you as well. Father, in Jesus' name, you see these hands, you see these hearts, and in the name of Jesus, I bind anything over these people that would hinder them walking in peace. Any bad habit, any situation that has gotten a hold of them, anything that is just pulling them down, I pray, Lord God, that your peace, that peace that passes all understanding, would just come up just like a wave right now. Father, I just, in my spirit, I feel it's just like a wave flowing. I just speak that wave of peace in Jesus' name, that wave of peace in Jesus' name. Receive it, people. Receive it. Receive the peace of God and let it break that chain. And once that chain is broken, you do not take it back. You do not allow yourself to go back into those handcuffs. And I speak that peace in Jesus' name over you. Over your bodies, over your minds, over your souls. I speak it in Jesus' name. And Father, I thank you for peace in the house and in those watching and listening. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. I have I always pray over you out of Numbers. You know, may the Lord bless you and keep you. And I'll do that today. But like last week, I've got a verse of scripture. I just want us to stay together and say it over everybody in the room. So I just want you to speak faith over yourself and over everyone else. And let's just make this declaration together. I'll start it. It's 2 Thessalonians 3:16 out of the Passion. And so I'll start. Just jump in with me. It should be on the screen. Now, may the Lord himself, the Lord of peace, pour into you his peace in every circumstance and in every possible way, the Lord's presence be with you all. Amen. And Father, I just thank you that the Lord's presence is us and that we receive the peace of God upon our lives. We call that peace in. We receive it and we accept it. And we do not allow Satan to put worry and anxiety on us, put sin upon us, put things on us that would try to steal our peace. We maintain our peace. We keep our peace and we talk to you about it. And we do those things, Lord God, that we have been instructed to do to maintain the peace of God in our lives. And I thank you, my Lord God, for it. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you, be gracious to you. May the Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. Angels of God, you go forth into this week and you prepare this week for us in Jesus' name. You bring us, you take us into situations where doors ought to be open. You move us from where doors ought to be closed and you prepare it and you go forth in front of us to prepare a way, a blessed way, a prosperous way, an anointed way. And I receive that in Jesus' name. Be blessed, child of God. Have a great week, an anointed week, a prosperous week. And we'll see you back here next Sunday in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 And you are dismissed.